everybody. Usually, when there's no pianist, we panic. But COVID has taught us that we can just play it on the screen and through the speakers. So we'll begin with a song in a minute. But before we do, let's commit this meeting to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to meet together. I pray that it will be a beneficial time, that we'll be able to delve into your word and to see how you speak to us. Help us to respond in song, in prayer, and to meditate on you. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit, who promotes Jesus above all else. So, Lord, help us to keep these things in mind now. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, we're going through the topic, the fruit of the Spirit, and we read that in Galatians 5, verse 22. Let me read it to you to begin with. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So obviously, we're going through that list and we've reached peace. And so let's start now with this hymn, Peace Like a River. And it has that lovely refrain, "It is well with my soul." I think the hymn writer was experiencing difficulties when he wrote this. Oh, that we do have a pianist. Well, we have it also on the screen, Hilary, so don't worry, don't stress. It's up to you. So if the hymn writer could write these words, having lost a lot in his life, then let's think about how we can experience peace. So let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Now then, take a seat. There was a helpful comment last week when we looked at joy that these fruits of the Spirit are not gifts. They're not gifts of the Spirit. I think it was John who was a gardener. He said we must cultivate it. And so that is what I hope we'll look to do tonight with the issue of peace and give you some verses to help you cultivate peace. It should be the hallmark of the Christian, an obvious characteristic. Why? Well, God is the God of peace. We read several places in the Bible. Romans 15:33 is an example that he is the God of peace and we are his people. I can't stress enough that the Spirit points us to Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. We read that in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read it because it's such a lovely verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. We are citizens of his kingdom. He is the Prince of Peace, and we should have the characteristic of peace in our lives, therefore. So, whatever I say tonight, behind it, at the forefront of it, is Jesus. My kids are now very well acquainted with the answer to every biblical question. It's either God or Jesus. Well, that's what I want to impress on you tonight. And the other thing I would like to say to you, by way of introduction, is I went out on a lake near my house on a paddleboard. And I thankfully drifted away from the family into the middle of the lake and lay down on the board. And I thought, this is peaceful. Not a care in the world. I could hear them so far away. It was bliss. But you know, as nice as it was, that kind of peace is temporary. It wasn't long after that the gnats started to bite at my ankles and I nearly fell in on the way back to the shore. And that is what is the problem in our lives, is that there are things sniping at us, disturbing our peace. So for the next few minutes now, I've given you worksheets. I want us to think about what disrupts our peace. I want you to think what disrupts our peace. Before you start, I've got an answer sheet here, but I'm not going to share those answers with you just yet. And I'll give you a copy of my answers anyway. I don't suggest that I know everything about peace, so you may have better answers or better suggestions than me. But we're going to look at first what disrupts our peace, and then together we will look at the anecdote. If there's something that disrupts our peace, what is the biblical answer to address that disruption? So, for the next few minutes, we'll work in silence. I'm not going to ask you to reveal your answers unless you're happy to do so later on. Anyway, a few minutes. Think to yourself now, what disrupts your peace? Okay, we'll stop there because I'd like to say so much to you about the subject. First of all, we must realize that there's different kinds of peace. And so what disrupts them are different. There's a phrase, a saying, which you may be familiar with, the peace with God and the peace of God. And I want us just to think firstly about the peace with God. Peace with God. That is the foundation of peace. In Isaiah 57, verse 20, it says, "There is no peace for the wicked." So, what disrupts our peace with God? Well, I hope you've put down on your answers the main thing that disrupts our peace and our peace with God, and that is sin. Sin. Like I've just said from Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked. The world can think they have peace, but it's temporary. It's not eternal. It's not everlasting. Just so that you can then, on your little diagram, if you've not put sin down, you can put it down and extend it with another bubble, with the answer, the biblical answer to sin. And let me give you a verse. Romans 5, verse 1. This is the answer to sin. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, peace with God is because we are justified through faith. We have faith in what Jesus has done for us when he has paid the penalty of sin on the cross, so that we might be forgiven. Another verse for you to add to the problem of sin. Colossians 1, verse 20. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is our mediator, isn't he? He is the one who brings us peace with God, and he's had to shed his blood. I will ask you what you've put on your papers in a moment, but I just thought I'd tackle this one first of all, because it's one obvious one, but it's foundational for us to have peace with God, that the problem of sin, that disrupts our relationship, that it's dealt with, and it is dealt with through Jesus Christ. Now then, I don't know if the mic is ready, or either that, or I'll repeat your answers. Does anyone want to volunteer what they might have put, what other things they might have put that disrupts your peace?
My old self, because only being a new Christian means that I always have to battle with my old self coming up quite a lot, and my old habits and things like that, and old views, which need challenging, which is in itself challenging.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else?
I guess when you need like an essential item, like milk or cereal, and the shops are closed, that's kind of disruptive in peace. Can be.
You get anxious, is what you're saying, Sam.
Yeah, I think I'm quite blessed to have a flatmate who's willing to share food, so it's fine.
Any other suggestions?
Yes, I was going to say anxiety, worry about things that perhaps are really quite bizarre and they're so totally unfounded, but we can just let them be exaggerated, and perhaps there's no foundation to them at all.
Thank you. Diolch. Mike in the back.
follows on a little bit from what we've just heard. But bad news and the effect that that has on one.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
I want God to do something and he's not doing it quick enough.
Anyone else?
Government policies. I mean, that's a broad thing with the education and the things that they're bringing in that are anti God's word. That really gets my goat.
Thank you, Ruth. And one more. Anyone else? What disrupts your peace? Well, let's carry on then. You obviously know one of the points, which is peace with God. And we're going to delve on that a little longer. There's also the peace within. And I think that touches on what many of you have said. And there is a third one, peace with others, peace with people. And there are things that disrupt those kind of peace. Dealing again with peace with God, we've looked at sin. I'm surprised no one said health and death. Sin results in death, and our bodies decay. And that can disrupt our peace, I believe. And a few verses I think that helps to tackle this, and it maybe is a point similar to sin, that, you know, in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus says to his followers, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In our decaying bodies, I think there's nothing nicer than that word rest. It soothes my soul and gives me peace. And another chapter dealing with rest is Hebrews 4. We won't read all of it now, but go home and read Hebrews 4. There is eternal rest waiting for the ones who are in Christ. What else disrupts our sin? Well, I've put down Satan. Satan, Clifford's agreeing with me. Satan is looking to disrupt your peace, to separate that bond. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So, anecdote, be alert. Be sober-minded. Be mindful. He exists, he is looking to trip you up. But a few other encouraging verses dealing with Satan and his schemes. Romans 16:20. And by the way, if you're tired of scribbling, I can give you my answers later on, okay? "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." That's a lovely verse at the end of Romans. Ephesians 6:1. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Another one, James 4:7, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And there's another verse in John about that Jesus is greater than the one who is in the world. So, promising verses dealing with, so far, sin, death, and Satan. I've also put down doubt and assurance. That can disrupt your peace with God. And to tackle that, the anecdote, there's some nice verses in Mark 9:24 and Romans 8:1-6. So Mark 9 says, well, it's the father of the boy who was ill, and he says, the boy is healed, and the father says, he exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I suppose it's sin to doubt, but we can pray, can't we? Anecdote, we pray, we call out for God to help us. And like I've said before, the Spirit wants to promote Jesus. Help us to have faith in him. The Father exclaims, help me overcome my unbelief. Another verse, Romans 1. I love this verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I wonder how many people who lack assurance need to hear that over and over. But then, a few verses later on, after that, comes these words, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Well, we must pray that the Spirit governs our minds, because that will give us peace. Right. I've said enough now on the peace with God. We're going to look at a different heading now. Peace of God. What's within us? I'm going to touch on what... I never know if it's Amelie or Amelia. Amelia. I've got a niece who's Amelie, I think, and it's confusing me. Amelia said, the battle with her old self. I want you to have Galatians open, because this very topic tackles that battle. Verse 13 onwards, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. It goes on to say, verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Folks, there are acts of the flesh. And if when you read those things, how can you have peace if there is such things as sexual immorality, when there is such things as impurity, fits of rage? It just does not sit well with peace, does it? With selfish ambition, with dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. The list goes on. And I struggle to see how peace can sit well with all those acts of the flesh. What is the anecdote? Well, this part of the scripture says, kill it. Crucify it. Do not indulge in the passions and desires of the flesh. So there is some element of discipline, isn't there? We're cultivating peace by getting rid of the weeds, by putting to death the things that disrupt peace. So thank you, Amelia, for mentioning that. Next, I'm going to deal with Sam's issue, a real issue of being anxious. And I think Mother as well said something similar. The world is full of anxiety. Full of anxiety. What is the anecdote for that? Well, Sam, do you want to turn to 1 Peter 5 or 7? And Elizabeth, can you... Elizabeth, can you... Do you have, is gennych chi Bible? Na. Josh, could you read... Tim, can you read Philippians 4, verse 5 to 7? So Sam first, what is the anecdote? One Peter 5, verse 7.
Cool. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Thank you. And Tim? Philippians 4, verse 5 to 7.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you both. It's obvious, isn't it? Again, we're not to be anxious. Sam's verse says, cast all your anxieties on him. It's natural to be anxious at things, but you cast it. You don't try and deal with it yourself. You cast it on the one who cares for you. And then Tim's passage, I always find it helpful to have the word, the Lord is near, next to what follows. When he is near, you do not need to be anxious about anything. And whatever the situation, however bad it is, again, you pray. You petition. You must show gratefulness and thankfulness, something someone mentioned last week about joy. It helps you have perspective, I think, when you do that. You present your request to God. And what is the result? Well, it's the peace of God, that peace within. And it transcends all understanding. And what is lovely is that peace, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's not some superficial peace that comes and goes. It's in Christ Jesus, who is eternal. So what lovely verses to encourage those who are anxious. What are the things that disrupt our inner peace? Well, I've put down temptation. Perhaps this goes hand in hand with sin, but... Well, Clifford, you've put down temptation. Well, you're free to speak.
I think this pandemic has caused a lot of unrest, and people has become very anxious and lost their peace. But I think the bottom line is that we've lost our faith in God. Our time is in his hands, and we'll only go when he says so. So I think it's a lack of faith, which very often, which is causing a lack of peace.
Yes, I don't disagree with you, Clifford. Thank you. That's helpful. Just dealing with the issue of temptation now, there's a helpful verse in, I'll read it, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There's no mention of the word peace in that, but it's an anecdote in that God helps us when we feel weak and we might fall to temptation. Right, last heading. The peace of peace with God, the peace of God, and the peace with others. I'm surprised, well, and if you may not have put it on your paper, but to me, people are a problem. People are the ones who disrupt my peace the most, probably. And it's the usual culprits, family, friends, neighbour disputes, oh, they're the worst. And governments, even, Ruth. It's people, isn't it? But you know, I said to Rhian last night, God's people can disrupt your peace. And she looked at me and she, God's people, how dare you? What do you mean? Now, I don't say it's right, but it can disrupt our peace. And the way we deal with God's people and the way we deal with other people, unbelievers, is very different. Okay? So let's deal with God's people. Because if you're here tonight, I trust you believe in Jesus. I'm surprised at how many verses that Paul has penned to different churches in different letters. And they all pretty much say the same thing. Ephesians 4:3, you spot the similarity. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Romans 14:19. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Colossians 3:15. That's another one. I'll stop there. They all say, make every effort. How can we share communion? How can we display peace with God and with men? And have that characteristic of peace that should be obvious. That fruit, if we're at war with each other. It's not right. It's not biblical. We must make every effort. And there is a verse, Colossians 3:15, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So that is the reason we are to make every effort, because we are one body. How can we be at war with each other? And how can we claim that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the head of the body, how can we equate that when we're at war with each other? It doesn't make sense, and we must make every effort. I love the verses of Psalm 133, and it's something we should cherish in this fellowship. And if we don't experience it, then there's something wrong. We must make every effort. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So, brothers and sisters, let's pray, let's make every effort, let's be united, let's serve Jesus together. Dealing with other people. I remember having a disagreement with someone, and Tim helpfully showed me this verse some time ago. It is Romans 12, verse 18. I would like you to turn to it, because there's a bit to say about it. When we have our peace disrupted by people, it is easy to get hostile with them, even pray that for revenge or something. Well, read these verses. Verse 17, actually. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It goes on to say, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. There we have a verse that says we must try and make peace as much as it depends on us. The world, they don't believe God. They don't know what peace looks like. They have no concept of it, really. And so it's understandable that one party wants peace and the other doesn't. They can hold grudges for the rest of their days. As Christians, we're not to. And we are to pray to God about it, to let him rule on the matter. Not that he would send down his curses, etc., but that justice would be done. Fairness would be achieved. So let's bear that in mind. Now, I'm conscious I'm going on now. I just want to share just one or two other verses dealing with peace with others. I'm sure a verse that comes to your mind when you think of peace is Matthew 5, verse 9. It's in the Beatitudes, and Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. In fact, I just better come to it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful verse? And another verse that I particularly like, I'm just using this opportunity now just to share favourite verses, so bear with me. I do love the verse in Isaiah 52. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. What a wonderful piece of Old Testament, and I'm sure it's replicated in Romans 10. The feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Is that us? Can people say that, yeah, we're a peaceful lot? We have that fruit. It is a hallmark of that church. I pray that it is true for us, that we would know peace, peace with God, peace within, peace with others. Of course, there are things that are going to disrupt it. But we've got anecdotes, haven't we? The Bible helps us. God helps us. The Spirit helps us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, do help us. Ultimately, it is our old self battling with us. The flesh is at war with the Spirit. But help us to show self-control. Help us to kill the acts of the flesh. Help us not to doubt, not to lack faith, but just trusting you for peace and peace within. Lord, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world, was tempted like us, but the world did not overcome him. He was without blemish. He was perfect. And he gave his life so that we could have this rest, this eternal peace, this long-lasting peace. Oh, Lord, I just pray that the world would know it. Oh, Lord, that we would show it. So help us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just say something I failed to mention? I follow someone on Instagram who's into his yoga, I take it. He's into his stretching and stuff. And he's released a book called Your Good Vibe or something. And I thought to myself, well, when he's doing his exercise and stuff, I bet he thinks he has peace. The world thinks they have peace. What marks us differently? Well, he hasn't got Jesus. And you know, in this book and on Instagram, he says things like, bring your good vibes. And basically, if you don't bring your good vibes, you're not in his vibe tribe. Right? Well, that's not peace. That's a bubble. A bubble that will eventually pop. It's not lasting. It's the world is selling a lie. This guy is quite popular, and everyone loves him, flocks him, and everyone thinks they can get peace by breathing and stretching. And don't get fooled. It is a lie. Eternal peace is with Jesus.